Today I'll be reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 29 through chapter 12, verse 2, from the New Revised Standard Version. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. So today we have this wonderful human being. Her name is Reva Tabalisma, and she was born and raised in the Philippines. She is the eldest daughter of a Filipino United Methodist pastor who is currently appointed in Iowa. She also comes from a family of pastors and church workers in the Philippines and in Iowa. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology from the Philippine Christian University in Manila, and she is currently an incoming fourth-year MDiv student. So she will be a pastor too, studying Methodist studies at the United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities in St. Paul, Minnesota. She is passionate about youth ministry, believes that the church should invest all resources. Think about this. And she believes that the church should invest all resources for youth because they are the future of the church. And Reva also has a cat. She has a cat named Squeaky. And her favorite time of the day is when the sunset hour arrives. So she likes to watch sunsets. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Reva to all of you.
Please join me in prayer. Hide your servant in your grace and glory, loving God, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Amen. Good morning. Seattle is a very beautiful city. I'm enjoying my stay here so far. The main focus of today's passage is about the word faith. Faith has been associated with religious traditions and beliefs for a very long time, and greatly too. Faith is also synonymous with the word trust. The dictionary defined faith as a belief in complete trust and strong conviction about something. So most of the time, this word is attributed to religious belief. So today, we will talk about the different things that can be formed out of faith. Faith is used to contradict the word discouragement, and in our passage today, we will see the evidence of this. So there are five things that I would like to talk about that faith can do for us or make us do. The first one is faith moves us to take action for our lives. In verses 29 to 32, it talks about people that were associated with victory in the Old Testament. In our language today, this is what we call success stories. And we have seen people's faith has motivated them to take actions, which in turn made them successful. I have a quick question. Who among you likes to watch feel-good movies? Can you see a show of hands? Yeah. And human nature is almost usually drawn to success stories or happy endings. And this is, I think, the reason why feel-good movies are very popular, right? We want to feel good after sitting down in a movie house or in front of television in our house. We want to have that good feeling after watching a movie. And we are happy to see that humanity conquers life's adversities. So is this good or is this bad? Of course, this is good, because when things are starting to go bad, faith makes us hold on and hang in there. Faith makes us think that tomorrow is another day. After a long day at work, after a very stressful day at work, a very stressful day with the kids, faith allows us to think that life is not over and we can do better tomorrow. For some religious tradition, this is one of the bases of what is called prosperity gospel. Is anybody familiar with that? All right. That for as long as a person has faith, the person will be successful and automatically be prosperous. But unfortunately, this is not the case, because if we read further down, verses 34 to 37 talks about how people suffered because of their faith. The truth is, sometimes living up to their faith or to our faith can put us in uncomfortable situations. But faith is the same force that will give you the strength and courage to conquer uncomfortable circumstances. The second one, faith transforms us into becoming better versions of ourselves. The names that were mentioned in the passage were persons who were famous for their faith. But let us not forget that these people also have imperfections as human beings. Some have undesirable backgrounds, but faith transformed them into becoming better versions of themselves, specifically Rahab. She is known to be a person in the margin, but she was instrumental in saving the lives of the Israelites' spies to the point of betraying her own people. And her courageous act saved Israel from its enemy. Now, the point of this story is not to focus on any particular country or nationality, but the facet that I want to zero in is the fact that faith can help a person overcome hindrances in life, such as status or position in the society. Faith motivates a person to see his or her abilities to help others, not just because he or she can feel good about helping, but more importantly, it is because faith compels the person to share God's love for the other. Faith does not only mean that we establish our relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, but this faith should also enable us to establish our relationships with our neighbors, those who are different from us in terms of skin color, political belief, life's conventions, or any other classification that the society dictates. What makes the Wesleyan tradition unique from Protestant denominations is that we believe that we believe in justification and in sanctification, which means that accepting Jesus Christ into our lives is not the end all and the be all of our Christian life. After being justified from our sins and our relationship with God is restored, faith compels us into sanctification. So what does this really mean? This means that God's grace inspires us and hopefully takes us into action to becoming God's arms and legs into this world. Faith changes our levels from personal holiness to social holiness, where we could show how we love the world. And this should be the reflection of our relationship with God. Next is faith strengthens people. As a person of color, I have observed that people of color are generally resilient people. In my Filipino background, we have a very interesting rate. I see a few Filipinos here, so let me know if you also connect with this situation. So every year, the Philippines is ravaged by tropical storms. We have at least 25 storms every year. And sometimes, these storms causes damage to properties, loss of lives, severe floodings. You know, you get the picture. So it is common that during storm season, the daily local news will cover these damages, so in the provinces, in the cities, everywhere. Scenes of flooded communities can be seen on the news coverage, and you see this every day, three times a day. But every time that a camera pans in these devastated area, you will see people waving at the camera, smiling. This is as if to show the world that they are having the best times of their lives. And what's ironic about this is you can see this with people who are hanging out at their roofs because there is no dry land anywhere in their community. They will give a grin and wave to the camera as if they are saying hi to the world. Ironic, right? And I believe that it is faith that strengthens them to have this courage to smile in the camera. Sometimes kids would even jump so that they can be seen in the camera. That in times of destitution, resiliency allows people to look at the brighter side of a negative situation. Now, verses 35 and 38, it's a little complicated because we have seen that people were in very painful situations because of their faith. It takes a lot of strength and courage to endure those pains. Can you imagine being tortured, flogged, if you even use that word still, or sawn in two? I can't. Just the thought of it makes me squirm. But our passage today shows that faith is strengthened those who had to undergo these painful circumstances. Faith gives us hope, hope for a better future, hope for everything. I am serving a church that is predominantly Caucasian, so predominantly in the sense that at any given Sunday, I am the only one who's not white in the congregation. Some Sundays, there would be another person of color, and that would be it. That's our diverse culture in Spirit of Hope United Methodist Church. The main concern of my congregation, or what they always bring up, is that our attendance is declining, that there's not enough warm bodies in our pews. that we don't have enough children, that there's more death in the church, that we celebrate more funerals than baptisms. And always there's a cloud of anxiety for the church, anxiety that the church will close, anxiety that the church is going to die very soon. So to address this anxiety, the ministerial staff tries to restore the faith within our community by letting them know that the church is not dying, but we are shifting gears. Because the truth is, while warm bodies in the pews are declining, we continue our ministries with the homeless. We continue our ministries with the immigrants, the refugees, to people who needed help getting their lives back together. We are continually building relationships to the youth who do not feel safe of their family environment because they are different. We restore the hope that the church is not closing, but we just changed venues for our ministries. We always tell our congregation that we just changed the place where we meet God from the sanctuary to the streets, to the shelters, and to community centers. It is interesting and refreshing for me today, after 3 years, to be in a sanctuary where majority of the people looks like me. I am filled with joy and happiness that I am seeing straight black hair just like mine. And this was another manifestation of faith. Whether you are a first or a second or a third generation, your presence here is born out of your ancestors' faith. The faith to leave the country of origin with the hope that life is going to be better in this country. Likewise, whether your being here was because of a positive or a negative circumstance, your presence here today is rooted on a faith that leaving your home country, and that includes me, leaving our own home country, will give us and our family better opportunities than what we will get back home. And with the hope that faith that we or our ancestors had to be in this country and in this place and in this space is still the faith that we want for our children, for the generations to carry. So as I understand, and that's what Pastor Karen told me, today is Scholarship Sunday. Now, the word scholarship in itself is a clear manifestation of faith, right? When I moved to Minnesota 3 years ago, I was shocked at how expensive education is here in the U.S., even with scholarships that we receive, expenses are still exorbitant. And if a person or the parents have not prepared for higher education, it is almost impossible to finish a degree without having employment or having student loans, which most of the time weighs down a person before he or she starts working after graduation. Education, sadly, has become a privilege in a society that's inundated by consumerism. And because of this, it takes a great deal of faith for all of the young people and for everyone who's gone to college to start and get that application, to apply for that scholarships. I know this because I have applied for several scholarship organizations and have rejected many times too. It is both daunting and very taxing to apply for that scholarship, filling out forms, answering questions to qualify, not knowing if you will get that scholarship or if you will be chosen. It takes faith to do that because it is also an opportunity to reach that goal of getting that degree. It takes the person closer to his or her dream of having a better future. But as we look at Scholarship Sunday today, And as we remember the young people who have received these scholarships on the road for a better future, let us also remember those individuals and those families who have shared their financial resources because they had faith to the young persons who will be recipients of these financial assistance. They believe that their resources will give opportunities for young people to have a better future. This is the faith that moved them to make a difference in the lives of others. And as disciples of Christ, their giving to the scholarship committee or to the scholarship funds is the reflection of their faith to God and their trust in the ministry of Blaine Memorial. Today, we are given opportunity to take part in that occasion of showing God's love to others. And that opportunity is in the form of the envelopes that's inserted in your bulletin. So as people who are called to love our neighbors, as people who are called to show that the reflection of our faith to God and to our community, we are given the opportunity to expand this ministry by our giving. Our faith that brought us here is the same faith that we hold on to as we show God's love for us and for others, that we hope we can share to the world. May it be so. Amen.